Okay, I guess we have a Sunday school class this morning, thank God, or at least one student that I see. Have thumbs up, Eric? Okay. Well, the name of the message this morning is called Fiery Trials. I think it will be appropriate for many, if not all of you. In our walk with the Lord, not every event is pleasant, as we know. Jesus certainly did not have a rose garden of a life, and neither will we. There will be unexpected and difficult times in our lives. Some events may even seem strange, and we may question the Lord. We may question, why is the Lord permitting it? We all question the Lord like that. We may think, I know that the Lord loves me with an infinite love, so why this very difficult and hurtful trial? Or we may say, I have accepted the Lord into my life, and I am one of his children, and God is my heavenly Father. Why then these temptations and trials and even fiery trials? God has a purpose, a use for the fiery trials in our lives. And when we pass through them, we want to remember that he will walk with us. He walks with us in the trials. And we're going to read that. He doesn't have to, but he does. He will never leave us alone. There is a reason why the Lord permits these trials and even fiery trials, which the Bible speaks of. They are not haphazard or misguided events in our lives. This morning we want to see what the Word of God has to say about these fiery trials. If you could turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read the bulk of this chapter. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. But at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, which was probably some type of guitar, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before him. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire, and what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, Certainly, O king. He said, Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Let's go on a little bit. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of the fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants to put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies, so as to not serve or worship any god except their own God. We'll stop there. So Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, which in current times, Babylon is Iraq. As we read, the statue which Nebuchadnezzar built was 60 cubits in height and 6 cubits in width. Now, a cubit is the length of a man's arm from the elbow to the tip of the longest finger, your third finger, which is approximately 18 inches. Therefore, this statue was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. The statue that Nebuchadnezzar built could have been an image of himself, or may have been prompted by his dream, recorded in the second chapter of Daniel, in which his kingdom was represented by the gold head of a great statue. Now, representatives of the government were invited to the dedication of this statue. When it mentions like satraps and prefects and Chaldeans, who were these people? Satraps were subordinate rulers. Prefects were high-ranking administrative officials, possibly military in nature. Chaldeans were an educated class of Babylonians, including priests, magicians, and astronomers. All government representatives and citizens bowed to the image, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we read. Knowing that all had bowed, the decision of these three Jewish men not to bow took great courage and strength of character and bravery. This courage and strength came from their great love and loyalty to God. They had to be passionate about God. I mean, to be willing to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace, even after they were given a second chance and still saying, we're not going to worship this idol. They had to be passionate about God. It's very admirable. The dedication meant nothing to these Jews because they were dedicated to the one and only true God, their Lord, their King, and they would not bow to an idol. They did not want to hurt God. How often are we really concerned about hurting God? Something to think about. These men loved God and were willing to take a stand for him, even if it meant death and dying a horrible death. Now in verses 8 to 12, it's possible that certain Chaldeans were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because the king had made them administrators in the kingdom of Babylon. Don't forget, these men, they had different names in the province of Judah, but they were captured by Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon, and they were made administrators. So certain Chaldeans may have been very jealous, probably figuring, who are these exiles to become administrators in the kingdom? They could have been very jealous of them. However, these three Jewish men did not value their position above their loyalty to God. Their priorities were placed properly. How many times have we spoken about priorities in life? God should be our number one priority. Their priorities were placed properly. God was the number one priority and should be in our lives. In our current society, how many people put position before God, which is idolatry? You say, how do people do that? How many times do people make a church service or some church function, maybe a prayer meeting or a Bible study? No, they have something else to do regarding their position or I could take overtime, let's say optional overtime or something like that. They put the position before God. No, I have to say, my father worked at IT&T here in Nutley and Clifton for 44 years. He told his boss, I cannot work Tuesdays and Thursdays or Sundays. And he refused to. And my father could have been very strong about his opinions. He refused, and he didn't have an easy boss. They respected him for it. And they didn't even ask him to work on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Yeah, we know, Pat, you're not going to work. He said, I'm not going to. And he was in church. Now, he could have taken the overtime that my parents could have used. We were five children growing up. Let me tell you something. We never lacked. If anything, we prospered. As time went on, we got more things added. You know, good appliances, got a pool in the backyard. And my father just refused the overtime. God stepped in, and he blessed our family in more ways than one. I had a very good childhood. So, you know, people should not be putting position or anything before God. Of course, it is idolatry. What about verses 13 to 18? Nebuchadnezzar gave these men a second chance. They could have thought, maybe we should bow down to the image. We're getting an opportunity to escape the flames of the furnace. We're getting a second chance. But they did not waver in their loyalty and love for God. Their faithfulness to the Lord was firm. They were unmovable in their dedication to God, not an image. These men knew the meaning of putting God first in their lives, and they were in a foreign land. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king in his time and was in a rage. These men didn't even fear his rage. Satan may be in a rage against us, but we are held in the everlasting mighty arms of Jesus. Satan can rage all he wants. If we're in the arms of Jesus, Satan cannot harm us. Who can pull you away from the arms of Jesus? What an awesome protection. And Nebuchadnezzar said, what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? He was about to find out. Good question, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was about to discover the incredible power of an almighty God who has supreme power, who reports to no one, and can deliver his children from anyone's hands. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 reads, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord was about to shock and stun Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And in verse 16, the men answered, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Why didn't they need to defend themselves? Because in reality, they were responsible to a higher authority and not Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew their loyalties and their priorities for sure. These men were so firm in their faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord that even not knowing if they would be delivered from the furnace, they still would not bow to the idol. They didn't know that God was going to make the fire not hurt them. They were still not going to bow to the idol. What love and devotion to God. Where is our level of love and devotion to the Lord this morning? And in verses 19 to 23, the furnace was heated 7 times hotter. Satan could devise schemes against us in an effort to destroy us. He could make the fire hotter, but God always has the last word. You can be sure of that. We are held in the palm of God's hands, and Satan could not destroy us. He could do a dance, he could do whatever he wants. If we're held in the palm of Jesus' hand, Satan cannot destroy us. John chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said that no one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. A line from the hymn in the hollow of his hand states, his child shall rest securely in the hollow of his hand. Verses 24 to 26, these men were walking in the furnace. I thought they were bound. How were they walking in the furnace? Even their hair wasn't singed. They didn't even have the smell of fire on them. Boy, when God wants to do something, wow. Only the ropes in which they were tied burned. How did we know that? Because they were walking around the fire. So that means the ropes burned, but the clothes didn't burn. The smell of the fire wasn't on them. But God. Even their hair wasn't singed. But God. God made the laws of nature, and he could suspend them and break them at any time he wants. Just think of it. Ropes around their clothing. They're all tied up. The ropes burn off, and the clothing doesn't catch fire. Only God, I mean, could do something like that. But this is the same God we're serving. Don't think that anything is impossible to God. And that's not cliche. We're reading it here. Nothing is impossible to God. Absolutely, positively, nothing. He could break any law of nature that he wants. He could do whatever he wants. And as we said before, he reports to no one. He's God, but he's also our Heavenly Father, and he'll take care of us. If he commands the fire to not burn you, it will not burn you. I think that's up on our screen. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. We do walk through the fire. Some of us have already. You will not be scorched. Some of us know that already. If he commands the fire to not burn you, it will not burn you. The incredible power of God. Do we realize the power of the God that we serve? When you go through trials, God may free you from something that is binding you or hindering you from walking in his ways, and he can still protect you from the flames. Why do I say that? The ropes burned off. What's the application? Maybe there's something that's hindering us in our walk with God, that we're not walking with God the way we should. God may burn the ropes off us, but still protect the rest of us. Remember that the ropes burn, but not their clothes. No one likes going through trials, but the Lord has a definite and good reason for using them in our lives. Excuse me. The form of the fourth is like a son of the gods. King James Version has the form of the fourth is like the son, uppercase S, the son of God. What's the importance of that? Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 3. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, doesn't say if you walk through the fire, when you walk, but don't get scared. The Lord's going to be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, so don't get scared. Nor will the flames burn you, don't get scared. For I am the Lord your God. We have the same God as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice the words, I am. Notice the I am in the words of the Lord. I am the Lord your God. I am the name of God. Remember the time of Moses. Who shall I say sent me? God says, you say I am sent me. I am is over here. I am the Lord your God. God is supreme. He is sovereign. He reports to no one. And he's always in control of everything in our lives, even if we don't think so. Notice the change. Notice the change in Nebuchadnezzar's words and attitude. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God. Whoever expected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to walk out of the fire? But God. Two words, but God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God. Their devotion and determination to serve the Lord moved the heart of a great and proud king, and he was proud. People around us know if we are dedicated to the Lord, and they know if we are not dedicated to the Lord. So let's briefly speak about fiery trials. I'll read to you 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are made partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Who rejoices in fiery trials? But this verse tells us that we are made partakers of the sufferings of Jesus. In these fiery trials, we get a glimpse of his sufferings. Remembering the words of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him, and it finishes, and the fellowship of his sufferings. In fiery trials, we learn more about Jesus. We say we want to know him. Well, we learn about him a lot in fiery trials. If Jesus suffered greatly, the only way we could really know him is to suffer and pass through fiery trials. In the fiery trials, we can consider how much the Lord loves us, because he suffered greatly for us when he didn't have to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith which will be tried will become more precious than gold. Fire burns impurities out of our lives. And we've got the impurities in our lives. And God wants to burn them out. In the natural world, lightning may start a forest fire. We know that. Happens in the summer. Lightning strikes a tree, starts a forest fire. Diseased trees in the forest burn. One of the functions of fire is to purify the forest of disease. In other words, there may be diseased trees in the forest. And lightning will start the tree and strike a tree and start the fire in the forest. And it doesn't look nice, but you know, even in the forest, in the natural world, God is burning those impurities out of the forest. The disease that is in the forest, he's burning it out. And what happens? The forest regrows. I know there are certain trees, I'm not sure, might be called a lodgepole pine. The seeds will not germinate unless there's first the heat of a fire. So God uses fire in the natural world. He uses fire in our lives also. The Lord uses fire in the Christian life also to purify us. and working in our lives, the Lord will never permit more than we could bear. Sometimes we think he does. God, look, oh God, what are you doing to me? Don't you know how I'm hurting? God will never permit more than you could bear. He is a just, loving Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The Lord doesn't permit the fiery trials to watch us squirm under distress. He knows how much we can take, and he is always in control. As humans, we get very uncomfortable during the trials, and we question the intensity of them. But we need to hold on to God's unchanging love, which won't let us go, and realize that he is not permitting the fiery trial to hurt us. The Lord is permitting the trials because he loves us. See, God loves us with a trial, a fiery trial. Yep. He's preparing us to enter his kingdom so we can spend eternity with him. He's preparing trials because he loves us. He wants to purify us from things in our lives which are not in his will and may even hurt us, may even harm us. God sees the end of our lives from the beginning and knows what he must remove. And some things have to be removed by fire in our lives. God sees the end and he knows what must be removed. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So God has a purpose for the fiery trials. Since we are all going to pass through fiery trials and may have already passed through them, it would be good to remember that the Lord permits these trials out of love and not in an effort to harm us. If the Lord didn't care about us during our trials, he would not be walking with us through them. And it says in words which we read, he will walk through the fire with us. There are much more pleasant events that God could be doing. The Lord could be listening to his angels worshiping him, but he chooses to condescend to walk through the fiery trials with us. Because he loves and cares for us, he walks with us during these very difficult times. In conclusion, we want to remember the words of the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. So God is using the fiery trials in our lives. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Don't lose sight of the love of God during a fiery trial. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we're going to close with those words. If anyone would like to say a prayer to conclude the message, feel free to do so. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray, please don't wait.